Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 30, Text 28, as presented by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust team of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Anaya radhito nunam bhagavan haririshvaraha yanno vihaya govinda prito yam anayadraha. Certainly, this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. This is spoken by the gopis other than Radha, who had been abandoned by Radha and Krishna. You'll find this, in the Bhagavatam. Now, an extract from the purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that the word Aradhitaha refers to Srimati Radharani. He comments, "The sage Sukadev Goswami has tried with all endeavor to keep her name hidden, but now it automatically shines forth from the moon of his mouth. That he has spoken her name is indeed her mercy. And thus the word Aradhitaha is like the rumbling of a kettle drum sounded to announce her great good fortune." This comment by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is pertinent to the commonly asked question, why is the name of Radharani not in the Bhagavatam? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti says that Sukadev had tried not to say her name, and there are different reasons for that. One reason is he was afraid that if he said her name, he had become too much, an Indian use of English, too much absorbed in ecstasy, and thus he would become stunned, and he wouldn't be able to complete the recitation of Bhagavatam, and Parikshit had a limited time to hear the Bhagavatam. That's one reason. And another reason is that many of the listeners to Bhagavatam, to the recitation of Bhagavatam by Sukadev, were not eligible to enter into these topics. So it was presented in a very guarded way. But by her mercy, she has manifested herself, Vishwanath Chakravarti says, in an indirect way in this verse. Like the rumbling of a kettle drum sounded to announce her great good fortune. Kettle drum, exactly, we don't have in the Vedic instruments, but it gives the idea of a very loud drum. You beat a little and you get a loud sound. So Vishwanath Chakravarti says, he's pointing out, you think Radha's not in the Bhagavatam? She's right here. It's loud as anything. Unless you're deaf, you can't hear it. Now, around this time last year, I gave a series of talks on Radha Katha, and around this time of year, means around the time of Radhashtami, as I'm speaking, there are just 2 days to Radhashtami, and I'll give a few more talks under the general heading of Radha Katha. I had started speaking on the topic of no gopis in ISKCON, and I plan to get back to that. I thought I might finish that series of talks and then go on to Radha Katha, but I'll have to continue that afterwards. So we're talking about Radha and Krishna, which means we're talking about prem. We're talking about love. Love being one of those many words which is commonly used in most languages. There may be languages without that word. Be interesting to know if there are any languages which don't have that word. And probably in every language, there are nuanced understandings of the meaning of the word, according to what in that culture they consider to be love. And of course, with such an recognizable but indefinable subject as love, then yeah, there you go, there is indefinable. It's hard to say exactly what it is. It's beyond science. You can make a neurological examination and say that, well, it appears from the action of the neurons in this particular cortex of the brain that the person is feeling loving emotions. But that does not correspond to the feeling of love, which is whatever language it's expressed in, whatever the cultural baggage that goes with it, it has to be understood. If we come down to the deepest level of our needs, love is all you need. Love is what we are all searching for. What we lack so much in this world. There's no lack of anything, there's simply a lack of love. If we ask people, what do you want? People often, they're working so hard for what they want, the things that they want. But if you ask them, what do you want? What do you want most of all? Most people, think about it. If I could give you anything you want right now, what would you take? And someone may say, well, I want money. Someone may say, I want a healthy body. But in the depths of our being, what we really desire is love. And that is ultimately what religion is all about. It's not about punishment. It's not even about proper behavior. Proper behavior comes automatically from love. That is the perfection of religion, to love. But what exactly is love? That is very much misunderstood in this world. Otherwise, it should be very easy, should be the most natural thing to relate to the love of Radha and Krishna. Should be, because that's the primordial love. Why do we have this propensity to love? Because it's there in Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. Because we are tiny parts and parcels of Krishna, and because the essence of Krishna's being is love, we also have the propensity to love. So it should be the most natural thing to understand that Radha, Krishna, they're playing, frolicking in the forests of Vrindavan, they love each other so deeply. It should be the most natural thing. We shouldn't need to preach about it, or we shouldn't even need to... We don't even preach about it, we hide preaching about it because people misunderstand it so much. That just shows the perverted reflection. What we should understand most easily, it should be most natural for us. It's not even exactly like understanding. It's like a thirsty person doesn't have to understand the chemical reactions within his body that give him feelings of pleasure when he gets water to drink. It's just a natural response. So like that, our appreciation of the love of Radha and Krishna should be so natural, but our mentality is so unnatural, perverted, that we find the pastimes of Radha and Krishna to be obscene. Or we take them to be an impetus for our own mundane, exploitive spirit. So it is a guarded subject. because it is so much misunderstood. It shouldn't be, but it is. We have to reorganize people's ways of thinking about everything in order to become eligible to understand that which should not need explaining to them at all. We have to start with Bhagavad Gita topics, and actually, mostly we speak on Bhagavad Gita topics, especially among newcomers to Krishna consciousness at a basic level of understanding the basics. We are eternal. We don't die when the body dies. We weren't born when the body was born. We get body after body, suffering in this material world. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to go to Krishna, get out of this world of suffering. But we may think, well, why don't we just go directly to Prem Katha, Radha Krishna, Leela Katha? There doesn't seem to be much Prem in Bhagavad Gita. Well, it's there, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam. It's not, we don't find the word Prem exactly in Bhagavad Gita, but we find the word Bhakti, Bhakta, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam. There are many verses like that, or several verses which talk about always thinking of Krishna. The word Preeti comes up in Bhagavad Gita, which is roughly a synonym for Prem. Preeti Purva Kam. So love is there, but it's not as explicit as, for instance, the books of the Goswamis, which they're very clearly just on the topic of Radha Krishna Prem. Whereas we have Chaitanya Charitamrita, which from the very beginning establishes the principle of love, especially in, well, there's the topic, there are the topics of establishing the importance of worshipping, in the very beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, established the principle of worshipping the gurus, understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, and then in the fourth chapter, we get fully into the topics of Prem, Radha Krishna Prem, Gopi Prem, Radha, spiritual love, the love of ultimately coming to the love of Radha for Krishna and Krishna for Radha, and that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute this. So why don't we just go straight to that? Well, let's give it an analogy. For a tree to grow high, it needs strong roots. You do see trees that don't have strong roots and they grow high or they don't have very deep roots, like palm trees. They don't have very deep roots. Or banana trees, in a strong wind, a cyclone, the banana trees, they snap. And the palm trees, they can easily fall down. But a banyan tree, which is pretty much all roots, isn't it? It's even that which comes above the ground, it's almost the same as the roots, or an old jackfruit tree. It's not going to blow over. Deep roots, strong roots, and then a strong body. Otherwise, you may go high, but if the roots are not strong, you can be blow over easily. So that's an analogy, that we have to have a strong basis in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, that verse I've been quoting, Atika na labhya siddhadeha bhave, siddhadeha bhave, viparja buddhi janme shaktira bhave. If one tries to meditate on one's perfect position in the spiritual world in the service of Radha and Krishna, without attaining eligibility for doing so, that kind of outlook won't actually develop. It'll be a perverse, opposite kind of mentality will develop due to lack of strength to enter into such topics. We have to become strong. But we're not strong. We're in the material world. Daivihi esha gunamai mamamaya durataya. And we're overpowered by the material energy. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives another analogy of the bhakti lata. The bhakti lata means the bhakti creeper. The creeper itself is not strong, but if it takes shelter of a strong tree, it can go up, 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 as high as the highest branches of the tree by taking shelter of the tree. So if we take shelter of the tree of parampara, we generally see a line, but actually there are many branches also, then we can ascend. But remember, we're starting at the bottom. And the knowledge coming from the top, from the acharyas, they tell us to start with Bhagavad Gita. Krishna himself, he's at the top. But he speaks Bhagavad Gita. So this will help to make us strong. Even a creeper needs some strength. It's not completely devoid of strength. And we need to be strong to continue the parampara, give shelter to others, become branches. Well, we may say, all this basic stuff. Let's go directly to Chaitanya Charitamrita, to Prem. Actually, if we see the Bhagavad Gita through the eyes of Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can find analogies of Prem, for Prem there also. For instance, Yata Deepa Nivata Sto Ningate Supama Smrita Yogino Yatta Chittasya Yunjato Yogam Atmanaha. As a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains always steady in his meditation on the transcendent self. So yeah, a lamp in a windless place, as if the wick is not wet, and if the wick is well made and it's not dirty and the oil is pure, then there's no wind, and the lamp will burn very nicely and clearly and steadily and not waver. So similarly, the love of Radha and Krishna for each other cannot be disturbed. Vrindavan is set up in such a way that no one can disturb the love of Radha and Krishna. Even though there may be apparent attempts with demons coming from outside, or apparent attempts of the rival, supposed to be rival gopis of Radharani, to take Krishna from Radha, or there may be attempts by Radharani's supposed in-laws to stop her meeting Krishna. But actually Vrindavan is, just the whole of Vrindavan is set up by Vrindadevi, Purnamasi, and Balaram to facilitate the pastimes, the love of Radha and Krishna. So it goes on. It's unwavering. There's never a time when Krishna doesn't love Radha or Radha doesn't love Krishna, even if superficially it might appear to be so. That's one example from Bhagavad Gita. Here's another one which can be applied. It's not the direct meaning, but it can be it's not the direct meaning that if we see the context of how Krishna spoke that, but it can be taken out of that context and applied to Radha Krishna. Brahmanya adhaya karmani sangam tyakva karoti yaha lipyate na sapapena padma patram ivambasa. One who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering the results unto the Supreme Lord, is unaffected by sinful action, as the lotus leaf is untouched by water. So the analogy given here is of a lotus leaf untouched by water. A lotus leaf grows in water, or just on the surface of the water. And at the same time, on the surface of the water or just above the water. And the lotus leaf, one characteristic is that if a drop of water falls on that lotus leaf, it forms a ball, and it quickly falls off. So in the same way, even though there may be so many apparent causes for disturbance in the love of Radha and Krishna, like drops of rainwater falling on the lotus leaf, it can't stay. It retains its own nature. But definitely, Chaitanya Charitamrita is simply full of prema. It's not hiding the matter anymore. It's not roundabout. Anayaradhito nunam bhagavan haririshvaraha yanno vihaya govindo. What's the last line? Prito yam anayaraha. It's not hiding. Just Vishnu Chakravarti says this is not hiding. This is the kettle drum to announce. But it's a roundabout way. But Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's not roundabout. From the very beginning, it's made clear that this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna combined, and he's Krishna who's come to this world to find out what it's like to be Radha and to distribute this love of God. There's a reason why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami ends almost every chapter with the famous words, Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Jar Ash Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. Remembering or aspiring for the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath, this Krishnadas speaks, actually he was writing, but he says speaks Chaitanya Charitamrita. Rupa and Raghunath, especially among the six Goswamis, they glorified the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in their writing. They were specifically the gurus of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. In understanding these matters, Raghunath Das Goswami was a major contributor, especially to the Antya-lila, the pastimes of the Lord in Puri. But they particularly, among all the six Goswamis, they glorified Radha. And there is a reason why Srila Prabhupada took the Chaitanya Charitamrita with him to America. It seems it was the only book he took. He took his own volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, not the whole Bhagavatam, but he took for his own reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which he said it gave him solace so far from Vrindavan. He was reading that on the ship, and he gave it to us. So ultimately, he came to give us the love of Radha and Krishna. He worked, his life's main work was translating the Bhagavatam. And he gave us Krishna book and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And in this way, definitely he came to give, in the parampara of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to give the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which undeniably culminate in the love of Radha and Krishna. Bhagavatam leads up to Vrindavan Leela, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is beginning to end all about Radha. Actually, it's about Radha. You may say, really, really? Oh, there are so many pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveling in South India, speaking to the Mayavadis. Well, listen to this verse from the beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vanayaiva Svadyo Yena Adbhuta Madhurima Kidrisho Va Madhyaha Sokyam Chasya Mad Anubhavata Kidrisham Viti Lobhat Tad Bhavardya Samajani Shachi Garbha Sindho Harinduhu. Srila Prabhupada translates this: desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she relishes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Shachidevi as the moon appeared from the ocean. So what's going on? And Krishna is thinking that Radha, she has such feeling for me. How can I? It's something she's experiencing, which I can't experience. Obviously, there's something tremendous there. I can't experience that. And what about my sweetness and my beauty? When I see a reflection of myself in a pool of water, I see I'm so beautiful, I'm so sweet, but I can't relish that. She can relish that. So many others, everyone else is relishing my sweetness, and the topmost relisher of my sweetness and my love is Radha. How can I relish that? I'm cheated. She experiences so much happiness. I'm supposed to be the supreme enjoyer, but she gets so much more happiness from loving me than I get from loving her. It's just the way it is. How can I enjoy, how can I experience that happiness that she experiences? So thinking like this, he thinks that, well, according to the Rasa Shastra, I am the vishay, the subject of everyone's love, culminating in Radha's love, or rather, Radha is the beginning of all love for Krishna. Krishna vishayak prema param purushata, the highest attainment, the highest goal of life for everyone is to attain love centered on Krishna, on love for Krishna. And Radha has that just unparalleled, just everyone else's love for Krishna put together over unlimited time doesn't even amount to a speck of the love that Radha has for Krishna at even one nanosecond. It's something we can hear about, but it's inconceivable. So Krishna is the object of love, but the love is in Radha. She is the ashraya of love. These are the technical terms. So he's in the wrong position to experience the love for himself. And that love is what we all crave. I started this talk by saying, the love is what we crave. But that love that originates in God, but Krishna is the source of everything. But the real powerhouse of love is Srimati Radharani. But Krishna thought, as long as I'm Krishna, I can't understand what it means to be loving Krishna as Radha does. I have to become her, but I can't become her. She is she and I am he, and it's not all one. Well, there is a way to make it one. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikriti Haladini Shakti Rasmad Ekatmanav Api Bhuvi Pura Deha Bhedam Gato Tau Chaitanyakyam Prakatam Adhuna Tadvayam Chaikyam Aptam Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Radha and Krishna are essentially one. But they are two, eternally. They're ever united. There's one picture of Radha and Krishna as if combined that Srila Prabhupada had in his room in Calcutta. He liked that picture very much. So they are one, they're inseparable, but they are two for the sake of love. You can think, I love myself. Now there's a trend. Marry yourself. Love yourself. What a bizarre world. Love means there has to be two, minimally two people. So Radha and the love of Radha and Krishna, they're two. Why? For the sake of love. That's it. Love is the topmost. For the sake of love. Now they've come together again. Radha has consented to please Krishna by becoming one with him, but then appearing separately. Not that Radha and Krishna cease to exist as two entities, but they manifest as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has the feelings and the bodily luster of Radha. So it's Krishna with the feelings of Radha. And in this way, Krishna, especially when he forgets that he's Krishna, which happens especially in the latter years of his stay in this world, when he's just completely absorbed in the feelings of Radha, then he gets to know what it is like to be Radha. So he comes for that reason, and that's why we have Chaitanya Charitamrita, which describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of the reasons why Chaitanya, maybe the principal reason why Chaitanya Charitamrita is considered by both devotional and secular scholars as the most important and authoritative biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Well, the devotees particularly for this reason. Maybe the secular scholars put other reasons as more important. But particularly for this reason, that it describes the understanding behind it and as far as possible describes what happens to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he becomes absorbed in feeling that he is Radha searching for Krishna, which is the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's avatar. So yes, Chaitanya Charitamrita is all about Radha. That's it. Here's a verse from that same chapter, the fourth chapter of Adi Leela, describing the inner reasons for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance in this world, to savor the love that Radha feels for Krishna. Krishna madhurje, Krishna upajai lob, samyak ashadite nare mone rahe kob. Lord Krishna's own sweetness and beauty attracts Krishna himself, but because he cannot fully enjoy it, his mind remains full of sorrow or just, I want to enjoy it, I want to enjoy it, I want it, I need it. But you may say, well, there's so much in Chaitanya Charitamrita which is not about Radha. But actually, everything is about Radha. For one who has the consciousness to understand, actually everything everywhere proclaims the glory of Radha. And especially in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have stories of his childhood, his scholarly pastimes. Actually, it's all about Radha. You may say, well, it's not. She's not mentioned a lot of the, most of the time, you could say. Well, in this regard, I'll tell a little story which Srila Prabhupada told about Shah Jahan, who is a well-known figure in the history of India, and his son, or one of his sons, Aurangzeb, even more so. Shah Jahan was the Mughal emperor of India, and Aurangzeb was one of his sons who killed his other sons, his own brothers, and spared his father for quite some time, locked him up, and took over the kingdom, took over the empire, and was famous for his atrocities. So you can imagine, you kill your own brother, lock up your father. And there's a book called Shah Jahan by one Bengali, I believe, author. And someone asked the author of that book, well, the book's all about, the title of the book is Shah Jahan, but it's all about Aurangzeb, and Shah Jahan is hardly mentioned. And the author said, yes, but what you have to understand is that it's actually all about Shah Jahan, because he's locked up and he's just thinking of all that's going on. It completely tortures his mind that what his son has done to him, what he's done to everyone. So actually the subject is Shah Jahan, but even though it appears to be Aurangzeb. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada gave the example that if we want to know the purpose of Shastra, we have to find out from the author. It may not be very clear to us. And Srila Prabhupada said that the author of Shastra, Vyasadeva, states that Vedaishta Sarveraham Eva Vedyaha, repeating the words of Krishna, says in all the Vedas, I am to be known. Vyasadeva writes in his own Srimad Bhagavatam, Anartho Pashamang Sakshad Bhakti Yoga Madhoksaje Lokasya Janato Vidvangs Chakre Satvata Sanghitam, that everyone in this world is here because of anarthas, very big topic. We take that which is not our real necessity as being our necessity. We can be relieved from all these anarthas by the direct linking process of devotional service to Krishna. People in general don't know this, and therefore the learned, namely Vyasadeva, compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in relation to the Absolute Truth. So there you get the purpose of Bhagavatam. And then, of course, we have in this very second verse of Bhagavatam, Mahamuni Krite. Refers to himself again and gives the purpose of Bhagavatam. So the point is that the purpose of the book may not be apparent from a cursory perusal of it, or even if one approaches it with the wrong attitude altogether, because attitude is all important in devotional service. It's not a matter of scholarship. So what's it all about? It's about Radha, and ultimately it's about love. Radha Krishna means love. It's not, well, we say, who are Radha and Krishna? Oh, there's some couple who used to pose for paintings. We see so many paintings of them. It's all about their love. And this love is more powerful than Krishna. And there's evidence for that in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna re na chai prema bhakti re na chai apane na chaye tine na chaye ek thai. Ecstatic love of Krishna, prem. Here, Srila Prabhupada translates prem. Ecstatic love of Krishna, prem, makes Krishna and his devotees dance, and it also dances personally. In this way, all three together dance in one place. So prem is most powerful, makes Krishna dance, makes Radha dance, makes everyone dance. But prem is also overcome by prem, and prem also dances. Chaitanya Charitamrita is all about love. It's all about love, specifically the love of Radha and Krishna, and it's all about dancing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give chanting and dancing. What is the chanting? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, which means Radha, please engage me in your service. Radha, her name, Anayaradhito Nunam, understood from this word, Anayaradhita. She who is the best worshipper, means she who is this spirit of service to Krishna, which is the basis of love. It's not just feeling, or it's not sex attraction. It's the desire to serve, especially when it's in relationship to Krishna. And we may say, well, that's when you see Krishna as God, but then when you get to Vrindavan, but still it's all based on service. This is very clearly explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that it's all devotional service. Even Radha, she is the best servitor of Krishna. Therefore, she's the best lover of Krishna. Love means service. It's the spirit of wanting the other to be benefited, even at the sacrifice of one's own supposed benefit. So this love of Radha and Krishna, that is the topic which we should pronounce everywhere. How do we do that? Let us go everywhere, chant the holy names, dance. And what is that dancing? That will come automatically as we develop our service mood. It's not some choreographed dancing, but it comes from the heart, which is laden with service. So we chant and we dance and we distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Bhagavad Gita as it is, by studying Bhagavad Gita as it is, people will develop love of God, love of Krishna. They can go all the way up to Radha and Krishna. So this Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is nothing different from the love of Radha and Krishna. You don't have to run off to Vrindavan and find yourself a nice apartment with air conditioning to do your bhajan in. You don't have to do that. You can do it right on the streets of America. You are doing it right on the streets of America or Japan or wherever you are, by chanting and dancing and distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. This is service to Radha and Krishna. And we can understand that by studying the very books which we distribute. So this chanting and dancing and love of Radha and Krishna is all intimately connected. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. This is what Srila Prabhupada came to give. This is the meaning of Radhashtami. We worship Sri Radha. Every day we worship Radha by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And on Radhashtami we especially meditate on her qualities as much as we are able to do by her mercy, and pray for her blessings that we may be able to serve her by serving at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and all the gurus, all the acharyas. Much, 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 much more to say. Krishna willing, Radha willing, I'll say more in the next session. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya chunakang padayo nipatya kritvaja kakushata metada hambravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat. Goranga chandra charane kurutanu. Parivadatu jano yata tatava nanu mokaro navayang vicharyamaha hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama.